Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Sorry for the false start. There was still a sound issue. We'll talk about the news tonight. My voice is still relatively weak, so expect JF ASMR tonight. There is a news that we should be white-pilled to a certain extent about, but also black-pilled about. It's Tulsi Gabbard abandoning the Democrat Party and coming out and saying that the Democrat Party has become elitist, woke, and anti-white. The word anti-white, it is very encouraging that someone in the mainstream is using it, but it's also very blackpilling that we had to have Grandma Tulsi do this for us when Trump couldn't even do it for us. And we gave our votes to Trump, we didn't give our votes to Tulsi. So it's quite shocking that this term has now made it into the mainstream. And this is what we were banned for less than 2-3 years ago. So we should celebrate this, that people are being awakened to the anti-white hate that is directed at us. But it's amazing that it took that long. And that it's now a person of the Democrat Party who has to say it. Len Dalt says, suspects now using Washington law to call 911 on police. Dan Abrams live. Have you guys seen this news piece yet? No, I haven't, but I'm not surprised. I think there's a lot of people who find in the discourse where the police is systematically oppressing our rights. It's natural that people find themselves wanting to call the police onto the police. And there might, maybe in an idealized society, there might have a kind of anti-police police. Perhaps there should be someone who's able to prosecute the police. And in our societies, it's also the prosecutor that does it. But there's a problem of they're in bed with the police because they work with the police service so often that they become friends. And so the prosecutor is not the right person to make these prosecutions. Sometimes they would appoint a special prosecutor from another area. But perhaps we need something more. Perhaps we need a check on the state, and that could take the form of an anti-police police. That being said, I'm talking here about an idealized society, because in our society, 99.9% of the people who think they are being oppressed by the police are just criminals. It's amazing. Or people who collaborate or want to hide criminals or to give support to criminals. Go Away says, but Jeff, who will police the police's police? But it could be the police, couldn't it? Cock sends a super chat. I do not understand this super chat. It's in another language. I don't know what that is, but thank you for the donation. You have to send me super chats in English if you want me to review them. Left and right celebrate Tulsi Gabbard's leaving the Democrat Party. Now, I don't know what that means. What will Tulsi Gabbard do? Will she be an independent? Will she be nothing? Will she be a Republican? Will she be the first candidate for the Brett Weinstein party? the centrist party of Oregon? Or what was the name they called it? Future 2020? Or... anyways, whatever was the project of Brett Weinstein, I don't know if she will take the lead of it. But the left and the right, of course, are celebrating. But I think what's most important is she's always been an outlaw of the Democrat Party because she hasn't sided with the Democrat Party's conversion toward warmongering. Because at some point in the history of the U.S., somehow, the warmongers switch from being happy about George Bush because he would let them do whatever they wanted and eventually switch toward the Democrat Party. And Barack Obama was kind of that intermediary between the two, where Barack Obama has basically acted like a warmonger as a president, but no one would say it and no one would complain about it because he was black. And eventually the Democrat Party became explicitly warmongering with Joe Biden and his attitude toward Ukraine. So that's the history. And Tulsi Gabbard, in that context, has been called by Hillary Clinton a Russia agent, a Russian asset. Like, just because she has a given position on we shouldn't bombard Syria, maybe, oh, you're a Russian asset. It's really pulled by the hair, but it illustrates the kind of craziness that the Democrat Party has been driven toward in the last years. And some people can't take it anymore. There's still a big far left anti-war contingent in the Democrat Party that didn't do like Tulsi. You know, the AOCs and the four ladies, one of them is Muslim. These people are very much anti-warmongering, at least in their stated position, but it seems that they have decided to sacrifice on this front to benefit from being in the Democrat Party and running along with them. But there is a clash coming eventually because the Democrat Party's behavior will become incompatible with its anti-war base. Eventually, the leftists who are anti-war, who are kind of libertarian, who don't want to be constantly involved in endless war, they will have to do like Tulsi and leave the party. Sharia Loka says US wants to control the world. I mean, they do. They do control the world since 1939. So that's what they've been doing. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. So don't hesitate to add a payment method on Odyssey and use that button. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Tomorrow, I have a phone call scheduled at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It won't be public, so I won't be live streaming it. But it's that journalist Ashley who wants to talk to me again. Well, we had exchanged emails, and I had sent all of my scientific references. Ashley is a black journalist from MIT, and he's writing a segment about the people of 4chan and the research that has been done on 4chan and by Pypher on the question of the difference. Are there genes that explain the difference in IQ between races? And so he has contacted me because I was referred a lot in the 4chan post that he used in his research. And he was happy that I sent him all the scientific data to say, yes, it does seem like first it does seem like genes influence IQ. That seems to be a certain conclusion. And then the question about whether groups differ in IQ because of genes, that is not a question on which we have perfect methods, but it does seem to be the case based on preliminary analysis. And he pulled some Excel sheet that was done apparently at my suggestion, because I had suggested to do that kind of research, and someone on 4chan had done it years ago. And he's asking me, is this good science? Is this well done? And so we'll see what he has to ask me. Tomorrow I will be talking to him on the phone and I'll be reporting on what was the content of the discussion on tomorrow's show. Go away, says, are you gonna red pill him on Australians? Absolutely. I think I'm gonna drive the message home. I'm gonna show the value of the Australian dollar going down and down, and I'm like, how do you explain this if it's not genes? Surya Loka says, through bribery and corruption only. The US, absolutely. That's how the US works. Not only though, they used to be able to use physical violence and interventions into countries. But now they mostly do control local forces in a country by funding it and funding movements of revolution against regimes they don't like. That's how the US has been doing. So Kanye West had done some comments in the Tucker Carlson interview that got edited out, but somehow the maybe some intern at Fox News was able to film the little TV and keep a copy for himself while he was playing the edited out versions of the Kanye interview. So we'll get to know not only about what Kanye wants to tell us, but about what Fox News doesn't want us to hear. That is a work by Vice. You know, sometimes Vice is far left crap, but sometimes Vice gives us information that we like, and so we're going to have a look at it. Let's start with this one.
You know, every day we've been killing each other in the streets every day. One of the amazing things with Mayor Suarez is the murder rate has gone down. And yeah, I don't, I mean, you set that question up. You have more information about what happened in the hospitals. So in all honesty, I don't have the most facts, as many facts.
No, I mean, in your life, like the COVID vaccine, the being stuck inside, like, what did you think of all that?
I was vaccinated. It was interesting. A friend of mine told me that.
So Vice is reporting this because the I was vaccinated statement was removed from Fox News. But yeah, I mean, in that context, it doesn't tell us much, but it's good to know that Kanye was vaccinated. I didn't know. I thought he was so based and so that he had a secret based life that would keep him from getting the vaccine. But I guess he has a lot of traveling to do. And his life might have become impossible back in the vaccine passport days. Another thing that he said interesting in that segment is we kill each other in the streets. So I think he's talking about his view of the current black community and how he would like it to improve. So he's saying that's a problem. There's too high of a murder rate among ourselves. And we kill each other at an incredible rate. On Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood was made by Margaret Sanger, a known eugenics, with the KKK to control the Jew population. When I say Jew.
Now, that is an unusual framing of that claim. And that claim is that Margaret Sanger would have started Planned Parenthood to favor abortions in the black population. But listen to how Kanye defines the Jew population.
Jew, I mean the 12 lost tribes of Judah, the blood of Christ, who the race, the people known as the race black, really are. This is who our people are, the blood of Christ. This, as a Christian, is my belief. And I believe that if we saw ourselves as more.
Now, I cannot believe that Fox News edited this out. We want to know. Come on. It's like, it's not a detail. It's not unimportant. Kanye is getting on that black based space, multidimensional space of thought, where he thinks that he wants the blacks to be present in the Bible. And for that, he needs to find a role for the blacks, and it would be one of the 12 tribes of Judah. Whether that is true or not, I don't have a strong position on this. I don't think it's particularly well supported. I would like to be presented evidence. I've never seen evidence. All I've seen is there is a bunch of black podcasts that are very much pushing this view. And Kanye has become awakened to that view.
Exactly what our culture is based on. Think about us judging each other on how white we could talk would be like, you know, a Jewish person judging another Jewish person on how good they danced or something. I mean, that's probably.
So here he is talking about the black community and deploring that we're spending so much time criticizing each other, that we're, oh, she dances well, oh, nice twerking. He doesn't like that the black community is stuck in this internal critique of itself in the form of dancing. But now he realizes he has compared this to a Jewish situation, and he thinks it's maybe not the best comparison.
Probably like a bad example, people are going to get mad at that shit, but another thing that they do that I probably want to edit that out in front of that like that.
I probably want to edit that out. So understand that when Kanye later that night, or maybe next day, I'm not sure, but somehow after this, Kanye ends up on Twitter saying, I'm going DEFCON 3. Kanye is unloosened on his Twitter account in a way that he doesn't allow himself to be unloosened in a TV interview. So that's interesting. Kanye here is asking to edit that part out because he realizes that it wasn't, he thinks that he will be judged for racism against Jews just because he used Jews as an alternative example, because he wanted to compare the black community to anything else. He could have said white, he could have said Asian. His point was about not the Jews, but about the black community. And now he's asking to edit this out because he has some self-consciousness about it. Tucker Carlson will be answering, no problem, we'll do it.
Okay, so, you know, I was talking to Ice Cube today, and we got really beat up in 2020 for saying we need to approach things a different way and not just be trauma drunk.
Right.
Which is a term that, God just hit me with in the past couple of days. We are no longer trauma drunk. We're no longer trauma drunk, and we're no longer trauma bonding, and we're no longer woke in the sense of what woke is, because woke is just complaining about racism, but not doing anything about it. So what we're gonna do about it is say, hey, you know what? Y'all not gonna send nobody at me based on my opinion. You asked the question before, it drove me crazy to not be able to say that I like Trump.
Okay, so here he is making a kind of rambling statement around, okay, we're going to do something about racism, but what he perceives as racism in his case is the racism of being expected as a black man not to like Trump. So he's saying, that is the racism I want to fight against. Silver Spider says, since Kanye said White Lives Matter, I will hear him out. Absolutely, absolutely. I think it was great that he did this. Thomas says he's not very coherent. But that is Kanye West. He's always been like this. And that is why he often gets judged as needing psychiatric support by his surrounding. He just has a very stream of mind type of expression, which is probably also why he has all these talents. I think his brain is headed toward creativity, toward always generating something, and it can't always be good. So sometimes you end up having the impression that he's incoherent. But I think he has, I think that to the contrary, what we're seeing is the laying out of what's inside his mind, which is a very coherent structure. But I think he's stuck with various things he cannot express, and he finds himself working a lot to find the right words to express it without breaking rule A, rule B, rule C, and trying at the same time to make it understandable to people. But I think Kanye West is someone who looks incoherent, but who has a strong structure internally.
I was biting my tongue on my political opinion because I thought it would be better for my children. And now you look up and my kids are going to a school that teaches black kids a complicated Kwanzaa. I prefer my kids knew Hanukkah than Kwanzaa. At least it will come with some financial engineering.
Oof. So Kwanzaa is this made-up, I believe, African religion. Or I know that I've read about it. I don't remember anything about it, but it's trying to push a new form of religion onto black populations of the modern time, but that was never their religion, really. It's a modern creation of the Democrats, basically. And you know, when you saw Nancy Pelosi with African displays kneeling in front of the cameras, I believe that was Kwanzaa related. So that's my understanding of what Kwanzaa is. And he's like, now my kids are being taught this. And he says, I would rather them be taught Hanukkah, which is a Jewish tradition. And he points to the fact that at least it comes with some sort of financial knowledge. He calls it financial engineering, but I think what he means is it comes with some financial savviness. Very interesting. He's thinking that we are not teaching the right things to our kids through the public schools, and that the Jewish population would be an example of a people who has taught the right things to their own kids. Kovi Killer Clown says, Kwanzaa was created by a man who beat his wife, burned her with a iron or something. Every time I talk about this religion, I hear something new about it. I have no idea. I have no idea. Just at some point, some people started dressing with these drapes, all African colors and everything. I don't know what it means. Raised Fist says, those of you who think that Kanye's White Lives Matter shirt is cool should listen to what No White Guilt has to say on that subject. Okay, I haven't watched it. Maybe there's an argument to be had. I certainly don't think we should trust Kanye blindly. But I think it's interesting that he's done this, and it can't be fully bad. That would be what I say. When you have Tulsi Gabbard complaining against anti-white racism and Kanye West wearing a White Lives Matter t-shirt in the same week, something is happening that is good. Sorry, but there has to be some good in this. You have to see it as a mainstreaming of points that we have been working on for a long time and that we have been silenced for a long time. And this cannot be all bad.
Kwanzaa doesn't, you know, so they don't teach even Christmas itself, Christmas.
Christmas. Yes, that seems to be the origin of Christmas. Now he goes on a long ranting discourse around his friend Virgil. I will just give you a little segment and then I'll summarize because it's 7 minutes long and there isn't much insight.
Desperate times may grab a little bit too much of the Hennessy, I'll be specific. Arno, shout out. Thank you for making the Hennessy, it's delicious. That's an LVMH company. I'm kind of very much so in beefing with them right now because they killed my best friend, Virgil.
How did they kill Virgil?
They hired him. I'm going to try to like give you the abbreviated story.
So Virgil is a staff member of his who was also his best friend, as he describes it. He says they killed him. Now, Virgil is someone who died of cancer at 41 years old. And what he describes is that he got hired by Louis Vuitton, and he was working for this very prestigious designer. And he had an important position among this company. And he says that during those years, Louis Vuitton somehow ended up hiring a lot of the people who were around Kanye. So I guess that as a competitor, that's what you do. You look at the talent on the side of your competitors and you hire them. But he says, it's weird how they took basically everyone from me. And when he says they killed Virgil, he says that Virgil has been sent into a world of Paris, France-based designers. And he says the racism there is at another level in that kind of environment than you would see in America. And he says it's much worse in that sense. And he says Virgil on his side had an attitude where he would not keep anything inside. Basically, what Kanye is imagining or conjecturing is that Virgil would have found himself employed at Louis Vuitton in these high elite circles of France. He would have seen a lot of examples of racist comments, would have fought back against it because he knows that this is Virgil's typical behavior. He would call it out, basically. And then he died of cancer. But it's not clear how him dying of cancer in the head of Kanye is Louis Vuitton killing him. But it's true that dying at cancer at 41 is very early. So is he suggesting that they've used some kind of radiation device that accelerate the cancer rate, some targeted microwaves or whatever? But at the same time, at the end, he describes it as, I think they've put so much on him that they've basically drained him away. So perhaps he's just suggesting that the fatigue related to being in that position that he was in has had a cumulative effect on his health and led him to acquire the cancer. Sultry Serenade says COVID vaccine. Maybe it was a reference to a COVID vaccine claim. I don't know. Go Away says, imagine the streets, the stress of living and working around the French for years. It would give anyone cancer. Possible that it was what he meant, something along those lines. All right, let's continue listening to the other clips.
Anymore.
I'll talk to him if I see him.
Yep.
But I guarantee you he see me.
And I have visions that God gives me just over and over on community building and how to build these free energy, kinetic.
There are these subtle moments in Kanye's speech where he does not pronunciate a letter or vowel correctly. And I believe that this is linked to some state of his brain, which you could call a disorder. But this is, I want to play it again. Pay attention to this. He says free energy communities.
And how to build these free energy.
Free energy. You'll see this extremely common in someone with dementia, someone with Alzheimer's, someone with a neurodegenerative disorder. But you can also see it in some psychiatric disorders earlier in life, and you won't see it very often. You will see it once in a day, maybe. But to me, I think that it shows the state of mind of Kanye. As he thinks of it, his mind gets excited about the free energy concept that he has. And it shows to me that it's very emotional and important to him and could be reflective of when his brain goes there and thinking in energy terms, it's kind of, he reaches a close to the psychotic state. Silver Spider says, JF doesn't pronounce a lot of English words correctly either, but the ideas are still coherent. Well, that is different. If I have an elocution problem from English, It is simply because I don't know, and my brain is set on learning French first. So I don't think it's illustrative of a disorder inside of me. But let's hear a little more about these kinetic energy communities.
Kinetic, fully kinetic energy communities where we impress.
And you can, when he goes on a, this kind of ramble, you can see his eyes are different. He's kind of, he's feeling a little bit like he just received an injection of drugs. Look at his eyes as he describes this.
Free energy.
See how he got a flash of his eyes? Free energy. And it's like, I believe that this is, there's an actual release going on in his brain there. I think he's, it's his brain going, oh yeah, a little more dopamine, a little more dopamine, and going into the route of psychosis. Now, I don't want to accuse him of being psychotic or anything, and I don't suggest that this should be handled by psychiatrists against his will. But it's just a feature of those types of brain. They get excited on abstract concepts.
Kinetic, fully kinetic energy communities where we impress, we put the least impression on the earth. We're not building the new New York skyline cockfight, that we are humble in the way that we present ourselves. We've got to rethink who we are as a species.
So the kinetic energies would be basically Christian humbleness of some kind in pushing communities to be humble. And that's the details we have. I guess that what he's saying is a form of mass movement of people who think like him and who are not there to create things that impress others or to create the new New York, but just to live a healthy Christian life. That is fine. That is great. Not sure what the kinetic means here. Are we? How is that kinetic? Because they make physical movements, but everything is kinetic by this standard. Christian mystic says, oh, same accusations have been made about his body language at his kid's birthday party. Party. Okay, maybe. I don't know. I would have to check the video. So that's it for the clips of Kanye West. What do we retain? Well, Kanye West is at this border of awakened versus wanting to hide. Is reflections on ethnicities and on comparing the Black community and the Jewish community. If he's exploring these ideas in his brain, but he understands that he cannot quite get to the point of expressing this on a mainstream platform. And we have heard that Elon Musk also has reported. Here I have the news item right here. Elon Musk says that he has spoken to Kanye West about his anti-Semitic tweet. He took my concerns to heart. So Kanye West is still very much with an entourage who will keep him from exploring those questions in his mind, those questions of racial justice, of fairness, of equality among the races. He's been exploring a part of those questions that has made his entourage uncomfortable, and he's self-censoring about it. What I would encourage Kanye to do is listen to your heart, follow the truth, and there are questions that are fair to ask and that are too taboo yet to talk on mainstream platforms. The world is just that way, but you shouldn't choose that the mainstream platforms controls your mind. You should free yourself. You should ask the right questions to get to the truth, independently of what people want you to say. Because what you can say and what they want you to say will never be the truth. It will always be brought toward their side. You need to ask the questions for yourself, independently of any censorship concern. Chicago's guaranteed income pilot program open to illegal immigrants, a typical Democrat policy here. So Chicago will give free cash. There will be 3,250 residents who will receive the $500 per month for 2 years. And they say you can apply if you are undocumented or your household is a mixed status household, as long as you meet the criteria above, which is to make less than $69,000 for a family of four. And they say we will not share information on immigration status with Immigration and Customs Enforcement or with the federal government. So basically what that means is these cities will be paying illegal migrants to just stay there. These illegal migrants will be staying there, potentially increasing the body counts of these cities so that they have more representation in the federal government. And yet they will not be able technically to work legally, but they will be paid to just exist. So here you have it, the cash for vote relationship that the Democrats have with immigration. That's what they're doing. Nicholas Petris says, JF, can you interview when? Yeah, that would be nice. I think I've been offering to Kanye to come on the public space back in the days. I didn't get a response. It would be nice to have him. I would have him, absolutely. I think that I could lead an interview that would be especially interesting, that no one else can do in this entire planet. Go away, says JF. Will Elon Musk personally reach out to me if I make an anti-Semitic tweet once he owns Twitter? This could be a cool alternative to the current Twitter moderation method. I mean, who knows? Like, because the tweet of Kanye was not a threat. So it was not illegal by the laws of the US. Definitely not. So Elon Musk says, if it's legal, we should leave them up. So would Elon Musk's Twitter have left up Kanye's tweet? That's an interesting question. I don't think he's going to leave them up. I think that Elon Musk will eventually get subverted by the very same executives that have subverted the existing Twitter. If Elon Musk wants to fix Twitter, he needs to fire 95% of the workforce. Let's put it that way. British campaigners warn against assisted dying laws following a truly shocking case of a Belgian woman, 23, who was euthanized after being traumatized by ISIS attack. This is so sad, because the laws are becoming so lax on this. At this point, you have people who are just feeling depression. They are youthful, healthy. They're basically just feeling depression. In her case, it was mental health problems following she was present after a bombing terror attack in 2016. The bombing didn't kill her or even injure her, from my understanding, physically. But it led to a trauma, and she had the option of choosing assisted suicide. It is absolutely disgusting that we have here a reproductive female who is lost to the world because of these laws. I think we should just cancel these laws. Although I'm not technically against euthanasia from a philosophical perspective, like if you want to commit suicide, I think we could have a world in which you are free to do this. Obviously, we're not free to do this in our world, but I could think of a world where that's possible. But in our current world, with the excuses that will make someone pass this process, like, oh, I have depression, I have anxiety, I think it's it like, to what extent can you affirm it is an objective fact that this woman had depression to an unresolvable degree? It's all too subjective. There was an interesting On Edge of Sam Harris by Elon Musk. So here there was Max Tegmark making an appeal to peace in the face of nuclear war. He says, here's why I think there's now a 1 in 6 chance of an imminent global nuclear war, and why I appreciate Elon Musk and others urging de-escalation, which is, in my honest opinion, in the national security interest of all nations. So he's like, he's making a little graph, but basically, we should want to avoid nuclear war. And you know, Elon Musk's idea of having the things settle in Ukraine versus Russia is not a bad idea. Now look at what Sam Harris responds. Seems like you're considering only one branch of the decision tree. What are the risks of giving in to nuclear blackmail? I think one could argue that they might be worse. So in other words, he's saying to Max Tegmark, whoa, 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 with your call for peace here, we wouldn't want Putin to have too much power over us here. And Elon Musk totally destroys Sam Harris. He says, Sam, there is such a thing as meditating too much. Oh my God. Oh my God, the... DK Shadow says, worse. Yes, there's a big question about, wait, what is there really something worse than nuclear Armageddon? Because that's what he was talking about. He's talking, what could lead to a nuclear Armageddon? In Sam Harris' worldview, of course, having Putin free to do whatever he wants with independent and sovereign nation, that is nuclear blackmail. And that is worse than the nuclear Armageddon. It seems that Sam Harris feels safe, that he may be in an area where he doesn't expect a nuclear bomb to drop anytime soon. But Elon Musk has totally the right words on this. Sam Harris has been meditating too much. He has meditated his way out of peace-seeking. Firestarter says Sam Harris is an expert in saying stupid shit. I would agree to an extent. He has a good history. You know, the Sam Harris of 7 years ago, that was a brilliant man. But eventually, I don't know what happened to his brain, cognitive decline, and he let loose on a couple of things. And all of the failures of his internal thoughts came to be exposed publicly. Raised Fist says, but does it mean we must listen to everything a nuclear blackmailer wants? Yeah, exactly. I think there's the setting of a false dichotomy here by Sam Harris, where it's like, oh, well, if we consider peace too much, that means kneeling to Putin. There's so much in between. You could have a conception of respect among nations. You could say, you know what? We're not going to take nuclear blackmail, but we're not going to keep Russia from selling oil to whoever they want to sell it to. We're not going to blow a pipeline between Russia and Germany. Are you crazy? Of course, to Sam Harris, that is submitting to nuclear blackmail. To let something else exist that doesn't have that doesn't pay its taxes to the world hegemony, that is nuclear blackmail. But it's not really. It's something else existing and you have to tolerate it, Sam. If you use Wikipedia, you've seen pop-ups like this, pop-ups of Wikipedia asking to donate. This guy is making a beautiful thread on Twitter, where he says, you know, when you're donating to Wikipedia, you're actually not improving Wikipedia. You're really donating to Wikimedia, and they're just maintaining the software of Wikipedia. So anything you like about improvements of the content on Wikipedia, that is all done by volunteers. So basically, most of the money you donate ends up being redirected toward non-profit entities that are absolutely super woke. Look, he says Wikipedia has kind of a neutral stance, but Wikimedia doesn't. And I hadn't realized this. Here's a statement about Wikimedia's position, which is open, politicized positioning of the Wikimedia Foundation. The Wikimedia Foundation defines racial equity as shifting away from Eurocentricity. White male imperialist patriarchal supremacy, superiority, power, and privilege to create an environment that is inclusive and reflects the experiences of communities of color worldwide. These modes of privilege mentioned above function as setting the dominant social, political, legal, and policy-oriented and cultural norms around the world. My God, I didn't know that they were that woke. Silver Spider says, wait, what the hell is Wikimedia? Wikimedia is the foundation that programs the software behind Wikipedia. By the way, if you go on my encyclopedia, on which I take note on all of my arguments, and I put, if I have a bunch of references I want to save for defending a point, I will put them on there, arguably.io. You'll see that my arguably.io runs on the Wikimedia Foundation software. But I didn't know I was using the software of a company that thinks like this. Racial equity means acknowledging explicit and implicit affirmative actions for white people and groups with privilege related to skin color are created systemically through institutional power, dominance, and control. So they are going strong in the far left direction. That's who receives your money when you give to Wikipedia. And the volunteers of Wikipedia editing, they get nothing. And they don't deserve anything. I mean, they're such a bunch of leftist bureaucrats. They don't deserve anything. But it's amazing that all those donation requests end up in that company's bank account. Musk denies Vice bombshell claiming he spoke to Putin before tweeting the Ukraine peace plan. So there was a claim that he spoke to Putin to kind of test the balloon of his suggestion on Twitter to see would that be a good plan. But that claim was made by Elon Musk hater journalist Jan Bremmer. And Elon Musk says, no, it is not true. I have spoken to Putin only once, and that was about 18 months ago. The subject matter was space. There's so much ridiculous journalism based around citing a single source, and that's ridiculous. UK climate activists block fire engine ambulance from responding to emergencies. One driver told the activists they were blocking a woman who has got to get to the hospital. So they make these blockheads of the roads, you know, when they sit down and they want to complain against climate change, but they are severely hurting people because there are people in ambulances that need to get help quick. There's a great article, What If the Truth Never Comes Out, about the vaccine. And it explores the possibility that despite all evidence stemming, the system may be self-censoring enough that the truth just never comes to be accepted by the mainstream. It's a very black-pilling thought, but it's very possible. What if no researchers ever, in no university ever, want to do research about this? What if the peer-reviewed what if the articles that are submitted already never get processed through the peer review process? What if no mainstream journalist ever talks? about the deaths and the problem with blood clots and all these other problems with heart disease, myocarditis. What if they don't cover the fact that there's an increase in the background excess deaths? We might very well have a future in which people just have a blind spot in their brain for the true history of the COVID vaccine and its true effect on our society. Nicholas Petris says the normies will never awaken. That is basically what this article is suggesting. Quite a dark... I tend to think that the truth eventually comes out. But if it doesn't come out in the next 10 years, there's never going to be someone in the distant future who can do an investigation about it. Because eventually the data disappears. Eventually you lose track of which country had how many vaccines and how many deaths, and it becomes untraceable. Silver Spiders and $10, thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey Jeff, I was talking yesterday about the similarities of some of your views to some Buddhists. Death is natural, identity / mind is illusion, and your inner feelings outweigh your outer conditions. One of the reasons I avoid it personally is that I suspect erasing identity leads to leftist takeover. Yeah, I guess I guess that we share. I share a relativism with Buddhists, but my relativism is contained. It's a form of meta-relativism where I say, yes, the self is an illusion. It's an illusion created by your brain, but you should live as if it wasn't. Because this illusion was created to be self-preserving, and that's just perfect. I say, yes, the mind is an illusion, identity is an illusion, and yes, death is natural, but you should basically go on with your life living those illusions in the same way you live with the illusion that the color red feels like the way it does feel. That's an illusion. You didn't have to see the color red that way. You could have an alternative species that doesn't feel the color red at all the way you feel it. So saying it's an illusion for the Buddhist seems to be kind of a disengaging thing where, okay, well, I disengage from it. I'm above it. I say, no, just dive into the illusion. Live the life, bro. Red is color red, and you yourself exist as yourself, and your mind exists at least as the illusion that it is. New York Times updates article that claimed conspiracy theory against election software company after charges were announced. So the New York Times had initially statements that were saying, oh, this looks like just a conspiracy theory, you know, the idea that the software company would have messed with something. But it turns out the software company is charged. And the chief executive of Connect, Eugene Yu, was arrested in connection with an investigation into the possible theft of personal information about poll workers. So they had to change the article and say, in communication with the Times, in communication with the Times for this article, neither Mr. Yu nor a spokesman for Connect said that the company was the subject of an investigation. They also asserted that all of the company's data was stored on servers in the US. So what they're basically saying is, oh, well, they didn't tell us, so we couldn't know, so we thought it was a conspiracy theory. And here's the error you've committed, New York Times. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. This needs to be reminded because in the disinformation field and the whole conspiracy theory field, they don't take this into account. C
see the fact that the guy doesn't tell you he's being subject to criminal prosecution doesn't mean he's not subject to criminal prosecution. Because of course he won't tell you. He doesn't want to get in trouble, doesn't want to ruin his reputation. He may not know that he's about to get arrested, so he's not telling you anything. Be always careful that absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. You cannot just say, oh, there is no evidence for this, therefore it's a conspiracy theory. Therefore, it's an unsupported claim if there's no evidence for it. But most likely there is evidence for it, since the people who pushed this idea ended up being right. So most likely there was evidence for it that you didn't know about. New York Times. Mords Curl says, great show. Thank you so much for the support. Fidozoraptor sends a super chat. He says, I find myself frustrated with Russia. I cannot read the rest of your super chat. Here, I will delete it. But yeah, there is a lack of satisfaction in how Russia is handling this war. In terms of, it doesn't seem like they're going for the final win in 3 days. Which is, you know, I respect, perhaps it's the best strategy for Russia. You know, Putin may know things that you don't know, that I don't know. Perhaps they don't have that much of a missile reserve. Perhaps they're keeping their forces for the future. But it's definitely something that is progressing much slower than I would want it to be. But that is sometimes the nature of war, so I have to accept it just like you. Absence of evidence is evidence of absence, according to Bayesianism. Interesting counter. I know what you're talking about. So Bayes' theorem is like, suppose you want to carry an umbrella outside. There's chances that it will rain outside. There's chances it won't rain. You look outside. It's not raining. You know that given your look outside and your evaluation of the situation, it's not raining right now. But there may be a 3% chance that it's raining even when it's not raining at the moment you get out of the house. Okay, you got 3% chance multiplied by whatever cost it is to be walking without an umbrella in the rain. But then you got, well, what if I carry my umbrella outside and it ends up not raining? There may be 97% chance that this happens, but bringing out your umbrella is a discomfort. You will have, your hands will not be available at the moment of carrying. You may have to do an extra trip to the car to bring it. You're going to be carrying an umbrella. It's going to have some cost in fuel. All of this is very small hurt to you, but it's still an annoyance multiplied by 97% chance of occurrence. So you have the big annoyance times 3%. Versus small annoyance times 97%. What is the best decision to make? And I would argue that the situations in which we claim that absence of evidence is not evidence of absence are situations where Bayes' theorem do not apply. Bayes' theorem requires knowledge of the full probability structure of your decision. You certainly don't have this. When you're a random journalist in New York investigating about an event that could have happened with an election machine in Ohio, let me tell you that you have zero knowledge about the probability structure of what it means not to have evidence about the Ohio event. What if the evidence didn't reach you? What were the chances that the evidence wouldn't reach you? what were the chances that there's evidence? And it did reach a bunch of people on Gab, but it didn't reach you because you're on Twitter. I mean, you simply do not have any knowledge of this structure that will allow you to affirm that not knowing something is knowing something. It's only in those cases of omniscient, probabilistic understanding that you will know that kind of things and that you will then be able to apply Bayes' theorem. But I appreciate the counter. It's a counter that I've heard before. It's not a good counter for the situations we refer to. Philosoraptor sends 25 LBC, says, sorry for the insensitive wording. Yeah, you have to be careful because it doesn't sound like a breach of the rules. But when you think about it, any claim about, oh, the war should be that way, is a claim that results in potential calls for death, and I don't want this. We have to avoid this. Go Away says, I always leave the house with my umbrella. It's such a small cost with such a great upside. I just don't understand the mindset of people who don't always have their umbrella handy. I laugh at the plebs whenever it rains and I see them all wet and uncomfortable. Well, you seem to be living it well, Go Away. You seem to be a happy man, having made his choices in life and just enjoying it. You go for it. Life is yours, Go Away. This world is yours. Philadelphia DHS worker arrested, charged in connection to toddler's death. Absolutely disgusting case of, you know, the child protective services, they take your child. You're a competent parent, they still take your child. They give it to contract workers like this. This one ended up killing the child. So now she was supposed to supervise the child. She ended up killing it. And she has reported to the police to get arrested for murder. This is so heartbreaking. This is what the state does. They are transferring white children from, well, in this case, I don't know that the child is white because there's no information about the child, but I certainly know that there is a big drive in academia, and I've reviewed writings about this in past debates and past episodes. There is a big drive to take children away from white families and send them toward other families. And that is the worst thing you could possibly do. And especially given the incompetence of the CPS at determining who is a competent parent, it is an absolute genocide what's happening. Nice memes here about the vaccine. When a package of lettuce makes three people sick, there's a nationwide recall. That is true. It really takes three people having diarrhea to completely kill the lettuce, and it's like there's no more lettuce nowhere. All of the lettuce has been killed and burned with flamethrowers. When vaccines maim and murder tens of thousands, they just mandate you to take even more. Holy shit, that is true. I mean, you can totally see this as the system having an asymmetric fight against farmers versus pharma execs. And basically, what did the pharma execs do that the farmer didn't? They got our governments to be so corrupted that the governments would sign a waiver to them, like, oh yeah, I understand that the vaccine may kill all of my population and I won't have any recourse to it and no one will ever have any recourse to it. Signed. If the lettuce farmer were as strong with corrupting our governments, perhaps they could get the same treatment. And this one is hilarious also. Table football, Pfizer edition. Everyone is dead of myocarditis. Oh my God, those memes. Those memes are hilarious. So that is it for tonight. We are headed toward the conclusion of the show. My voice is at its limit. I cannot give any more. But Autoritista has sent a super chat on entropy. He says, Johnny, I am conflicted. When it began, I was sad that Slavs are again killing Slavs. But on the other side, I was proud. I thought, we still got it. Imagine living in Francis Fukuyama world. Boring. Yeah, I don't think you should see the Ukraine-Russia conflict as, oh my God, it's an intra-racial conflict. Oh my God. This has to stop. No, because I think intra-racial conflict has been a building force of Europe. And I don't like conflict. I don't like war. I'm still very much anti-war in general. But you have to acknowledge that perhaps we wouldn't have become as excellent as we've become in Europe if it wasn't of intra-racial conflict. Perhaps these conflicts, they kind of whip nations toward excellence. Perhaps they include some naturally selective forces. And they are just part of what you have to do when we're competing for existence. This is what needs to be laid out that is never laid out. There's a limited amount of space, resources, and basically a limited amount of everything on this planet. And we're all fighting for it. And it's not true that there's resources for everyone. Whatever amount of space ends up being colonized, there's a bunch of niches that need of ecological niches that will develop within that space. People will start parasiting each other, getting from the successes of the other, and eventually the system crumbles to its equilibrium state, where this is all the people that this kind of system can sustain. And whatever that is, it's the ecological limit for a lifestyle. And we're fighting to be alive in human existence. For you to be alive, there had to be multiple tribes just killing the other tribe, and then this tribe killing some other tribe. And you're kind of just the cream at the top of this blood sports. So, no, don't see it through the racial lens as, oh my God, whites killing whites, it's dramatic. See it as there are some things that are worth fighting for that in society. The Russia-Ukraine conflict is not something that's worth me fighting for, but perhaps it's worth the Russian, and perhaps it's worth the Ukrainians. They want to go at it. They want to resolve this conflict. They want to play it to its ultimate end. Then it will happen. Let it happen. Dead Star says in a super chat, just a little geopolitical update. Violence in the Sahel region of Africa, the land where desert transforms into greenery, has exploded this year after a military coup in Burkina Faso. People were waving Russian flags and burning French in hopes that Wenger will send more troops to defend them. Okay, well, yes, when there are two axes of tensions, like the Russian world with Belarus and with the countries supporting it, and the NATO world, of course, whatever conflict happens on planet Earth, you're going to have people waving the flag of the US to get US help, or Russia to get Russian help. It's always like this. That's why our world ends up being so binary. It is binary. You have to choose your team, and it's always better to choose your team than to choose no team at all. Okay, the Wagner Group, that is what he meant by Wenger. Okay, Wagner Group. Maybe they will. I don't know. What are the interests of Russia in Africa? Have they done much colonialism there? I don't remember hearing examples, but maybe that exists. White Supreme says, and I'm watching his stunt and the plane land and the wheel runs over JF. Okay, he was describing a dream. He says, in my dream, in order for JF to promote his show, he decided to go to an airport and have a plane fly over him on the runway. I warned him not to do that, and I'm watching his stunt and the plane lands and the wheel runs over JF. And I'm watching his stunt and the plane wheel lands on JF and he's thrown like a rag doll. That might be the best marketing strategy I've ever heard about. I mean, can you imagine? And it's like, okay, all the live streams that JF has uploaded up to now is all we're gonna ever get from JF. Let's go watch them. Thank you.